In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, tomorrow we shall be enchanted by the beauty of the Christ child, overcome by the tenderness of his Immaculate Mother, and filled with admiration for his holy foster father. We shall be charmed by the shepherds with their animals gathered around the manger, and we shall ponder with awe the splendid message of the angels. Today there is born for you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But this morning, while we're still poised on the edge of the feast, while we're keeping vigil for the coming of the Savior, we should perhaps step back for a moment, away from the cradle, away from Bethlehem, to wonder at the whole great sweep of the Holy Trinity's plan of salvation, of which even so wondrous a moment as the birth of God among us is just one part. When we had fallen into sin through the disobedience of our first parents, God willed to redeem us and, what is far greater, to raise us to participation in his own divine life. He could have accomplished that goal in any way at all, but he chose what may seem a strange way. He determined that the Son should take to himself a human nature, pass 9 long months in the silence and stillness of the Virgin's womb, be born in a blaze of glory, and then retreat into 30 years' obscurity and humble labor. Then, God decreed, the Word become flesh would make himself known by heavenly wisdom in his preaching, the working of miracles. At last he would be rejected and killed and rise again. It was a strange plan, but it had one key point to recommend it. This plan of incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection of the God-man made it possible for a human being to love God and neighbor with all the love of the Godhead. By uniting his own divine person to a human nature, Jesus made it possible for humanity at last to love God as he ought to be loved, to adore him as he ought to be adored, and to serve him as he ought to be served. And although his own love for God was more than sufficient to redeem the whole human race, although his own adoration was more than proportionate to the divine glory, although his service more than accomplished every aim of the divine counsels, nevertheless, Christ wills to continue his incarnation in you and in me. Having taken to himself a human nature, he has entered into the most intimate possible communion with every man, woman, and child who will believe in him. Or rather, he has drawn his faithful into himself, made us the very members of his body. and endowed us, you and me, with the same divine capacity to love that he himself has in his human nature. Friends, in a word, this is salvation. No longer to be trapped in selfishness, but to be given at last the power to love with the very love of God. That was the objective of the Incarnation. It is, therefore, to borrow a phrase, the true meaning of Christmas. So tomorrow, as we return in our prayer to the beauty and awe of the stable, as we kneel at the cradle, as we wonder at the marvel of the Christ child and his human family, let us remember, it is not only the world outside us that has been changed by the coming of Emmanuel, but we ourselves, at the very center of our being. His birth is not an event that happened only once, long ago and far away, but a mystery of ever-increasing force which plays itself out in our lives today and every day in the sacraments. He has come, and he is coming, and he will continue to come in order that we may be bound ever more tightly to him, drawn ever more deeply into the mystical unity of his body, and made more perfectly participants in his own love beyond all telling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.